Isaiah 45, from verse 9. Woe unto him that striveth with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Or thy work, he has no hands? Woe unto him that saith unto his father, What begettest thou? Or to the woman, What hast thou brought forth? Thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel, and his Maker, Ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. I have made the earth, and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens, and all their host have I commanded. I have raised him up in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways. He shall build my city, and he shall let go my captives, not for the price nor reward, saith the Lord of hosts.
Noch um Geschenke, der Herr der Herrscharen hat es ausgesprochen.
Up to here, this wonderful and holy word of God. I do not think we have come here this evening, as we have read here, Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. We have not come here to quarrel or to bring a complaint against God. I think we are here again tonight to bring glory and worship to our Maker, our Lord, who created us. We cannot quarrel with him, because it is useless. Here it is written, as we have read, Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, What makest thou? Can we say to God, who created us, What have you done to us? No, we must say that everything God has done and how he has created us is well done. It is well done. And we are grateful to him for that, even tonight. We come together not to quarrel with him, but to give him honor, praise, thanksgiving, and worship. For we know, as it is written here, His hand has made everything visible and invisible, as Peter says in his letters. And he also created us, dear brothers and sisters, for what purpose? Just to live our lives? No, but to praise his holy name. That is the point. And we are here, not perhaps like other people who live their lives and want nothing to do with him. Maybe they are meant to be. But we, as children of God, are destined to bring glory to our Maker. And a songwriter sings, The flowers praise him in their play of colors, and so I too will praise and glorify him and give thanks often. Yes, that is the point. There is nothing more beautiful than when we can come together and sing one hymn of praise after another to the glory of our Lord. And when we raise our voices and give him thanks for all the good things he has done, we do not even have the right to say anything, for it is written here, Woe to him who says to his father, Why did you bring children into this world? We do not have the right to raise our voices and say, Why is this or why is that? No, it is not right before God. But we know that everything came into being through His almighty word, and to Him alone be the glory and worship. Let us not fail to praise Him and give Him thanks this evening. You know, He gave us breath, He gave us a mouth, He gave us everything. What are they for? To do only bad things? To speak only evil? I would say no. We as children of God should bring Him good things. And that is the praise of His holy name. Let us now stand up and let some of those who feel led give thanks to the Lord. Thank You for Your precious and holy word. Lord, may we consider, before we do anything, before we say anything, Lord, for here it is written, woe to those who quarrel with their Maker. Lord, my God, we do not want to quarrel with You, but we want to take every day of our lives as it comes, O God, and thank You for every good day and every bad day, O God, for You give us everything and want to see us, O God, as we stand, O Lord. Grant me grace, grant us all grace this evening, that we may take Your word to heart and praise Your name. Lord, I worship You. I praise You, O Lord, for to You alone belongs all glory and honor and worship, who You spread out the heavens. You have created everything. Everything came into being through Your hand and through Your almighty word. To You alone be the glory, O God. Accept the thanksgiving from all our hearts and mouths. Hallelujah. For You are our God. We are the people, the sheep of Your hand. Hallelujah. Praise be to You. You lead us to green pastures. You water us at the rivers of water. Hallelujah. Praise be to You, Lord, that we may also take and draw water of life freely this evening. Glory to Your wonderful name. Bless my brothers, Lord, who will bring Your word. Bless us, O Lord, as we hear Your word. And let us not be vain hearers, Lord, but doers of Your word. Thanks and worship to Your glorious name. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord that we have already heard such a wonderful word. We deepen ourselves in what is said and also in what is sung. We do not just sing with our lips, but we think about it and take it to heart, allowing God to speak to us through His word and through His Spirit. A number of people sent greetings from Zurich, which I would now like to pass on. We had a wonderful service, which lasted 2.5 hours for the first time, something that had never happened to me before. And then we had a baptism with a wonderful atmosphere. 18 brothers and sisters were baptized. It was just wonderful. Brother Kupfer called me on Monday morning and expressed his feelings. So many warm greetings. And we also thank You for Your prayers, which ascend to the throne of God. And God answers, perhaps differently than we mean, but God answers. God hears and answers. And the words we have already heard this evening go so deeply to heart and have touched me directly. Woe to him! The Lord presents Himself to us as a threatening God and says, woe unto him that striveth with his Maker, he a potsherd among potsherds. We may be but a shard among the broken shards, but we have no right to quarrel with our God. That is what a word wants to tell us tonight, you and me, if we are nothing but a shard among shards. We have no right to quarrel with our God. What a serious word. And God speaks this to me and to you, to us tonight. Blessed is he, or rather, woe to him who quarrels with his Maker. But then it says, blessed is he who does not quarrel with him, who can say like Job, shall we accept good and not accept evil? And it has been read from Ecclesiastes, where it says somewhere, in the day of prosperity be joyful, but in the day of adversity consider. And that is what we must do, I and all of us. But that is also a saying that we have heard. One could almost smile about it, but that's not what it's for. It says, O vanity of vanities. And then again, O vanity of vanities. All is vanity. What profit has a man of all his labor, which he taketh under the sun? And then it says, the sun also arises, and the sun goeth down. The wind blows and returns again. All rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full. Everything remains the same, even though it is new every day. The Rhine flows mightily every day. It originates somewhere high up in the mountains of Switzerland, is always full, and the sea does not overflow. Everything flows into the sea from all sides, and the sea does not overflow. Everything remains the same. Who can understand it? The wind blows right and left, south, north, east, west. You don't know where it comes from and where it goes. But we know one thing for sure. When we are touched by the Spirit of God, things don't just go into our ears. They go into our hearts. And then the heart does not remain empty. The heart remains empty only when people talk. And when we look with human eyes, the heart is filled. When we hear God speak and see things with divine eyes and when they are anointed. In this context, as is my custom, two words quickly came to mind. One from the prophet Jeremiah and the other from Romans. But before we continue, here is the precious word. Ask me of things to come concerning my sons and concerning the work of my hands, command ye me. Let my sons ask me, not strangers, but those who belong to God. The children of God ask him and say, Lord, you are our Father. What about your work? Not quarreling with him. But ask me about the things to come. We cannot ask each other. If you come to me, you will get my answer. If you go to Brother Schmidt, you will get Brother Schmidt's answer. If you go to God, you will get God's answer. And we must go to God. My sons, ask me about the things to come. And that is why we are here today. Then there is this word from the potter, which struck me terribly. Woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. And if you do that every other day, what then? What then? Then woe. Yes. O God, have mercy on us. I will read a word about grace, so that we don't give up the Spirit. Here it says, woe unto him that striveth with his Maker. Let the potsherds strive with the potsherds of the earth. The man saw a pile of potsherds here, nothing more and nothing less. And in this context he says, woe unto him that quarrels with his Maker. Shall the clay say to him that fashioneth it, what makest thou? Or thy work, he has no hands? We read the same thing or something similar in Romans, in chapter 9. There Paul, guided by the Spirit, speaks first of God's promises, of Isaac, and of the children of promise, and of predestination, and then ends with this theme in verse 13. And from verse 14 he says, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then it is not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. For the scripture says unto Pharaoh, Even for this same purpose have I raised thee up, that I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Therefore has he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, Why does he yet find fault? For who has resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say unto him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Well, especially the theme of the potter and the clay. It says here in verse 21, Has not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? From the same lump, not from another lump, from the same lump, from the same clay that is in his hands. And I think of the question that was asked to Brother Branham about the bride and those who are left behind, about the church. And he says, you must imagine it like this. There is a master tailor, and he has a large piece of fabric, and then he places the pattern on this fabric, and it is cut out. Everything is cut out. And what belongs to the thing that is cut out according to the pattern is then used for some purpose. It is made into a dress or something else. What is left over is the same mass, the same fabric, but it is waste. It is thrown away and is not used. It is the same fabric, but it has no use. The pattern is placed on top. God has a mass on earth. He has a people on earth, and he places his pattern on top of it, and then it is cut out, whether it be the example Brother Branham gave or the one of the potter here. He has the power to form whatever he wants from the same mass. And you can't even say to him, Lord, what are you doing? You have to thank him for what he has done. When I get there, I will also be helped. There is hope for all of us. From Jeremiah 18, that is the word of the potter, where the prophet is sent to the workshop to look at something. You know, the prophets were either shown natural images or saw them in visions in order to receive visual instruction and then through inspiration receive instructions on what to say. Jeremiah chapter 18 from verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise, and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words. A wonderful thing. In the potter's house, in the potter's workshop, God says, There I will cause thee to hear my words. not in a seminary, not in a theological training center, but there where the potter is working with his hands. And I saw this recently somewhere, maybe a year ago. Time passes so quickly. We were in a nature park somewhere, and near the exit there was a man, maybe from Haiti, a dark-skinned man, and he was the potter. And what can I tell you? It was wonderful. It was the best thing we saw in the whole zoo. The lion that jumped onto the bonnet of the car wasn't as interesting as the potter. We were at the exit. Where was it? Doesn't matter. Here in Germany, not far from here. And what can I tell you? Suddenly, at the exit on the right, there was this dark-skinned man, his hands, of course, full of clay. And suddenly, he took the clay, bang, and he threw it onto the wheel. And what can I say? With his dexterity, the wheel turned, and he held his hands. And before we knew it, he had made the most beautiful vase with a monogram and all the trimmings finished. Yes, we saw a lot, but the most interesting thing was at the exit. Who among you has been there? Then you know what I'm talking about. But don't go there on a Sunday. Sunday we are here. But it was really interesting. Here, a piece of clay, a real lump, and with full force, he probably did that on purpose, because there were spectators, he slams the thing onto the potter's wheel and he's got it under control. And it goes back and forth, turns round and round, up and down, his hands move with it, and what can I tell you? In no time at all, he had made a magnificent vase, a beautiful vessel. If I had tried to be that potter there, my goodness, what would that have been? So, everyone should stay where they belong. This man knew his craft so well, and that really appealed to me. Here, the prophet Jeremiah is told, "Go down to the potter's house, for there I will give you my instructions. Not go and think about my will. There I will tell you my instructions. There I will talk to you. I will give you practical lesson. I will show you how things are done." And then it says, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Yes, I saw it. Busy at work on the potter's wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. Notice the wording. Here it seems that it is not the potter who is to blame, but the clay, as sometimes happens with clay. The potter is not to blame. It is the clay's fault. The clay, the lump, was not soft enough to be formed properly. So it is never God's fault. It can only be yours and mine. It says, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, saith the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in mine hand, O house of Israel." That is all we need to know. That is enough for me. If there are shards, the Lord is the great potter. And I say again, it is the clay and not the potter who is to blame if the vessel cannot be shaped quite right. Then the vessel, I have seen it, when the clay is still fresh, can be thrown back onto the wheel with force, and then it's a lump of clay. With us there would only be shards, but with the Lord there is a lump again, and then he can reshape it, redesign it. You of the house of Israel are like clay in the potter's hand. Do I not have the power to shape? Do I not have the power to do what I want? Oh, may he succeed to make a vessel for his glory out of you and me. Here God spoke to the man, and through the first word he also spoke to us. Woe unto him that quarrels with his maker. Yes, you know, that happens very quickly. We are all only human. And what is written? Blessed is he who does not sin with his lips. And we are very quick to quarrel with God and with ourselves. But both lead to nothing. In faith we look up to God, take the word from his hand, and with his help no longer want to quarrel, not with him and not with our fate, but trust him. Just as Israel was clay in his hand, so the church is clay in his hand, to be shaped. And if the clay or the vessel is not quite right, pray. He has the power to make something wonderful out of the vessel according to his will and pleasure. May God truly bless this word in our hearts and bring it to pass as he has purposed. Amen. Always faithful to Jesus, faithful to his cross, until we go home. Always faithful to Jesus, always faithful, faithful to his cross, until we go home. Praise and thanks. We are grateful to God for all these wonderful thoughts and for the precious words that have been spoken to us. I noticed another verse in Romans 9, verse 24, which I would like to read. And then let us once again give glory to our Maker with all our hearts. Here it says, vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us, whom he has called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles. That is something wonderful. Brothers and sisters, we can agree with what the Scripture says here. For the Scripture does not speak empty words. And Paul, in his day, could say, we know, we have read, that it is not of ourselves, but God does it as he wills. He has mercy on whom he wills. So it is written here. But then it says here, the wonderful thing is, he has called us to be vessels of mercy, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Isn't that wonderful? Brothers and sisters, who can say it? Only those to whom it has been given, who have been called, they can say it. We were once not his people, but now we are his people. He has made us his people. He has made us such vessels. And do you know what? If he has made us such vessels, then they are not just there to remain empty, but he also wants to fill the vessels. Oh, how wonderful! Isn't that wonderful? That is our Creator. He made the vessels. We see it from the beginning. He chose whom he wanted. Not as men wanted, but whom he wanted, he chose the vessels. And what has he done from the beginning? He has filled them with what? With water? With the Holy Spirit. That is wonderful. Brothers and sisters, he does not leave his people and his vessels empty, but he fills them until they overflow. And that is what he wants to do tonight. He wants to fill us so that we overflow with the power of the Holy Spirit. Praise be to his wonderful name of Jesus. Brothers and sisters, we should not just sit here and be discouraged, But we should be full of joy that God has accepted us from among the Gentiles and that He wants to fill us with a power from on high. Do we believe it with all our hearts or not? He is still the same. He is still doing the same thing today. And we are so glad that we can look up to Him and be full of confidence. Brothers and sisters, let our hearts not be discouraged. Let nothing be in our hearts, but let us put everything behind us and look up to Him who has called us and chosen us and made us for the glory of His name. We did not call ourselves. We did not make ourselves. He did it. Isn't that wonderful? Praise and honor be to His glorious name. Now we have every reason to open our mouths and our hearts. You know, when people in this world rejoice so much, I tell you, where there is nothing at all, because the joy of this earth is fleeting. But we who truly have something to rejoice about, I tell you, how can we not rejoice? How can our hearts and our mouths not overflow, full of praise and thanksgiving? Is it not so? Yes, of course. Let us think back to all the good things God has done for us. The one thing alone that we can be His people and His chosen ones. He has made us His sons and daughters, His saints and His beloved. And so we may now rejoice and give Him the glory. Let us now stand up and worship Him. We thank You, O God, for this hour of grace, O Lord. We thank You that we may thank You. We thank You that You have accepted us, that You have had mercy on me, Lord. O Lord, all honor, all praise, and all glory belong to You alone, Lord. For You are the potter. We are only the clay, Lord, a shard among shards, O Lord. But You have accepted us, O God. How wonderful, how glorious is Your name. You who are enthroned in glory. You are not far away, Lord. You are also in the midst of Your people. You are there, Lord, where Your holy name is exalted. Hallelujah. You are among Your people who praise You, who exalt Your name, Lord. You are our God. Hallelujah. Lord, You give us new strength. You give us new courage to praise You and to glorify You. Hallelujah. If we do not do it, Lord, who will? But Lord, You said You would prepare a people for Yourself who would offer praise and glory to You. Lord, I have told You, I want to praise You as long as there's breath in me and sing of Your name, Lord, as long as I'm here on earth, granted by Your grace that I may do it, Lord. Praise and thanks and glory be to You. Bless all Your people everywhere on earth, Lord. Wherever Your children are scattered, Lord. O God, we ask this, Lord. Bless us also, Lord, on the weekend, when we come together, Lord. Bless everywhere, Lord, also in Zurich. Bless also Your people Israel. O God, bless everywhere where Your people are. This is our request and our plea in the precious name of Jesus. Remain with us now when we depart, O Lord. Bless us in our homes. Bless our families, O God. You can transform everything. All things are possible, Lord. We praise You. We give You alone the glory. In the precious name of Jesus. Amen.